You may be seated. We come here today around this table to remember who God is to us, who we are to God, who we are to each other, and who we are to the world. We come this morning. And on the first Sunday of each month, we gather around this table. We gather to remember who we are in Christ. And so this morning, before we go into God's Word, let us take a few moments right now just to quieten our hearts before the Lord in prayer. And as we do, let us just hear a word from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and following. And I'm going to take a few moments as I'm reading this to pause at different places. And as I do, I would really just encourage you to let your prayers, let your heart, your mind just be centered in what has been spoken. And then any prayers that come to your mind in that pause, just offer them up to God. And at the end, I will also give you a time of just quiet reflection, just to let go of the things that have been hindering and the sins that have easily entangled you this past week, so that you can fix your eyes completely on Jesus. This is what Peter reminds us. He says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers and sisters, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together and worship you in spirit and in truth, that we can come together in silence together and be able to know that as you are walking among this lampstand today, that you are presencing yourself in each one of our hearts. And so, Lord, as we have prepared our hearts for the message of your word today, we pray now the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This morning, we're for our time in God's Word, we're studying together the theme bodybuilding. We've looked at bodybuilding 101, bodybuilding 102, bodybuilding 103. Over the last number of months, and then last time we were together, we looked at this new, deeper series. We started this new, deeper series of bodybuilding, or being the body of Christ. 201, 202, 203, we started with 201 last month. Knowing who I am. And you know, some of the songs we were singing this morning, we're talking about that, who we are before God. You know, who does God see us to be in Christ as individuals? You know, as individuals, we know who we are as members of the body of Christ, right? That was the whole focus of our last time together in this series. Who do you know yourself to be in Christ? And we answered that, we gave you an opportunity to answer that question. I am in Christ. And we looked at that last time. And one of the biggest things that we recognized was what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person, or they are, a new creation. We are a new creation in Christ. The old things are passed away. Behold, Paul says, all things have become new, or new things have come. And so at the end of our last time together, we gave you the opportunity around your tables to make a list of all those new things that God says about us as a member of the body of Christ. That's who we are individually in that body. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. Do you remember some of the things that that passage said about who we are as individuals in Christ? Well, we are blessed. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. For God has chosen us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, set apart. In love, he predestined us to be adopted to the adoption of sonship. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have received the riches of God's grace that have been lavished on us. And he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, and which he purposed in Christ. So we, you know, and therefore in him we were also chosen. We've been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to his purpose and his will. There's just so many things that we made that big list, and it just was a reminder to us of how blessed we are. You know, we've been included in Christ when we heard the message of truth. When we heard the truth that, you know, that Jesus proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That truth has just penetrated into us. When we've received it, then Paul said, when we believed, we were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit of God. That guarantees, it's that deposit that guarantees our inheritance. So this is who God says I am in Christ. Who says you, who you are in Christ. And it's so important to understand that, to embrace that as members of the body of Christ, because it's foundational to our identity, who we are. But you know, that's not all we need to know. Or we need to hold on to. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, we were called out. We're his called out ones. But these are all the things individually that God has said we are as his dearly loved children. But there's so much more that God has said to us about who we are as the body of Christ, because we were not saved and redeemed to be individuals walking around on this earth, just an island unto ourselves. We were called and set apart to be part of something bigger. As we discovered in Bodybuilding 101 and Bodybuilding 102, we were called by Christ, called out by Christ to be part of his church, the church that he is building, his ecclesia. That is the assembly of called out ones. Those who have received him and believe in his name. And we, you know, Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 to 18, Jesus made a really powerful declaration to Peter when Peter made an equally powerful declaration about Jesus. Do you remember that story when Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And Simon Peter responded by saying, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus replied to Peter, he said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." What a powerful declaration by both Peter and Jesus. Peter's declaration, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus' declaration, "On this rock, I will build my church, my ecclesia, my assembly of called out ones in my name." And you know what's really interesting? Today, Jesus is still building his church. We are his church. We are part of the forever family of God that we've been talking about. Why? Because of all that we studied the last time. All the things that Jesus has said about those who believe in his name. But here's the thing. Knowing who we are individually in Christ is one thing, but knowing who we are as the body of Christ is something more. So this morning, before we go any further, I want to ask you the question. What do you know about being part of the body of Christ? What do you know? What would you say are the distinguishing characteristics of this ecclesia that we all belong to that Jesus is building? What are some of those characteristics? What are some of the things that make us the body of Christ or would be said about us? Or what do you say about us as the body of Christ? Who are we as the body of Christ? What do you say? What do you know this morning?
God's chosen people.
We are God's chosen people. Okay. What else? What are some of the other characteristics of being part of the body of Christ? We're called to love one another. Lynn? Okay. We're living stones. Chosen by God, precious to him. Okay. Well, we'll go a little deeper in that this morning.
I see it as the manifestation of the Spirit through us in the flesh.
Okay. So we are the presence, God's presence, his Spirit living in us and moving out into the world. Okay?
We are never alone. We have a heavenly family that we can go to.
Okay, so we're part of a heavenly family, that we're not alone. We're not just individuals cast adrift, but we are brought together as that forever family. What else do we know about being part of the body of Christ? Characteristics. We're a community of forgiveness. Oh, different gifts. Oh, okay, yes. Okay, I was getting a little ahead there. Giving you a few little hints, we are a community that has various gifts and abilities, talents, yeah, and we are a community of forgiveness, a community of grace, right? Okay, so there's so many things that we can hold on to as what we already know about being the body of Christ. So let's begin now to look at what does God say about who we are together as the body of Christ? And, you know, we're also, in just a few moments, as Lynn already mentioned, we're going to also explore a little deeper on how Peter understood what Jesus taught about being part of the body of Christ, being part of this church that Jesus was building. So let's look at John 17, verses 6 to 18, first of all. If you want to follow along in your Bible, that's great. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to have it up on the screen here. But this is Jesus and his prayer in John 17, when it's called Jesus' high priestly prayer. But it's one of the prayers nearing the end of his life and ministry that he prayed over his disciples, for his disciples, over his disciples. And so it's a good place for us to start this morning to just understand how does God see us as this forever family, this family of God? What does Jesus say? Jesus says this in his prayer to the Father. He says, "I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And what a beautiful prayer. What a beautiful prayer from Jesus, describing who we are as his body, his church, his dearly loved family, who he loved and he protected, he nurtured, he cared for, all the things that we know that Jesus did and that he taught, all was for that purpose of delivering to God his church. You know, as we reflect on this passage today, I'm sure that as Peter and the other disciples heard Jesus speak that prayer over them, I can just imagine them taking notes and reflecting on who Jesus said they were to him and to the Father. And I'm sure that this prayer that Jesus prayed would have been foundational for all that Peter understood to be true about who this forever family was on earth. And it formed the Peter's understanding of the church that he expresses in his letter that we see as 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. You know, that prayer of Jesus is foundational if we're going to understand what Peter is teaching us in 1 Peter 2, 4 to 12. So now listen to 1 Peter 2, 4 to 12, and see how it all relates to Jesus' prayer. This is what Peter says. He says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, You also, like living stones, are being built together into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us." You know, Peter's letter is written in the context of a world where the church, those who followed Jesus, the body of Christ, were considered to be in exile. They were spread around the Roman world. The church was facing challenges from every side, persecutions, all kinds of hardships. The apostles themselves, all of them were persecuted and executed by the Roman authorities. The church was seen by the world around them as irrelevant, something that was just to be dismissed. And when the world around, the world around us today is somewhat similar to what the church was experiencing in those early days of the church. We haven't here in Canada experienced that kind of persecution at this point, but the world is certainly changing around us. And how are we to maintain our identity in a rapidly changing world? Now, this is what Paul writes this letter to 1 Peter, or sorry, this is what Peter writes in his letter. He encourages us to keep our focus and our purpose and our identity as the people of God clearly in mind. And therefore, Peter gives us a word of instruction about knowing who we are when the world paints a distorted picture of what the church is, who we are. So, what does Peter say in his letter to us about the church that Jesus is building? Who does he say that we are? Or who did Jesus say that we are? Well, we are chips off the old block. I love that expression. You're a chip off the old block. You know, that's an old expression. It dates back to 250 BC when it, you know, first kind of came out in some written form. You're a chip off the old block. What does that mean? When someone says you're a chip off the old block, What are they saying? Hmm?
Just like your parents.
You're just like your parents. Yeah, you're just like the one, you know, your mom, you're just like your dad, you're just like a chip off the old block. Well, what Peter says to us here is he says, we as the body of Christ are chips off the old block, Jesus, who is the living stone. He says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are like, Peter says, the living stone. The living stone, Jesus, who is the cornerstone. He is the block, that rock that we are like. He says, as we come to him, as we recognize this living stone as the rock of our salvation, Matthew 16, 18, as we embrace him as God's chosen and precious one, 1 Peter 1, 17 to 21, all those scriptures that we've read this morning pointing to this very thing. Jesus is God's precious and chosen one, chosen for us so that we can come to redemption. When we come to him and embrace him as the chosen and precious one, something happens to us. We become like living stones. 1 Peter 1, 22 to 23 says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. We have become like Christ. We are now in Christ. We've become living stones being built by Jesus into his dwelling place. We are like living stones, chosen and precious to him. The Apostle Paul and Peter are in agreement about what Jesus is building, his building skills. You remember, Jesus was a carpenter. He was a builder. And a carpenter in those days as well wasn't just someone who worked with wood, but they worked with stone as well. They built houses. Carpenters built houses. All kinds of different applications there. So Jesus is a master builder. And he's building his church. We are being built into a spiritual house, says Peter. And Paul agrees with him. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, Paul says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers to God. You are now fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You know, as members of the body of Christ, we are God's temple. Living stones built together to house the living God, the Spirit of God living in each of us. And if as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, he says, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Each one of us, because God has poured out his Spirit into us, he's given his Holy Spirit to us as that deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The Holy Spirit now lives in us. So now we are the temple of God, each one of us, that place where God lives. And if I'm the temple of God and he has that place where his Spirit lives, that holy of holy and holies in me, well, you also have that place where God lives by his Spirit, the holy of holies in you. We are together being built as that Holy Spirit temple together. Let that penetrate for a bit. You are the place where God dwells by his Spirit. Your body is where God dwells by his Spirit. That's who we are. Together, when we come together, this building that I'm seeing right here in front of me right now, every one of us built together is far bigger than this physical building that we're in right now. Because it's not just this group of people that's representative of the temple of God here on earth, but it's every single other believer in this world. We together form that holy spiritual house where God lives. That's mind-blowing. We are being built into a spiritual house, a kingdom. The kingdom where God lives here on earth. Therefore, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul encourages us with these words. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true and proper worship." We're being built together into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And we are to embrace this new position, this new place in God's heart, because we are his special possession. As 1 Peter 1, 2 to 5 says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You know, as Peter reflects on all that he had been taught and had experienced in his relationship with Jesus, he expresses his understanding that as the body of Christ, we are God's special possession. Jews, Gentiles, slaves, free, male, female, we all now bear a special designation in God's heart. Chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, a people belonging to God. We are God's holy possession. We've all been chosen in Jesus with a special purpose. And that special purpose is what Jesus left his disciples with In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he went and ascended up into heaven, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be what? My witnesses. You have been called out of the darkness into the light. Why? So that you might declare the praises of him who has redeemed you. You may be witnesses for Jesus. So that we can be the people of God. Called out of the darkness into the light so that we can live as God's people. And we can be agents of his mercy. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the whole world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Apostle Peter concludes his reflections on what it means to be built up by Christ as his living temple, the body of Christ, by reminding us of one of the stark truths that Jesus prayed in his prayer. The truth that we are not of this world. And as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are foreigners and exiles in this world. We're not foreigners to God, but foreigners in this world. This world is not our home. And if it was true back in Peter's day, it's just as true today. Because we know that there's a culture war waging against our souls, about against all those who would call themselves Christian and part of this family. We all know that it takes courage and determination to live as God's people in our world today. And so as we come to the conclusion of this passage that we've been studying this morning from 1 Peter, Peter encourages us to do just that, be courageous and strong, to live such good lives among those people in our community that though they accuse us of doing wrong, they will see our good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Peter encourages us to remain strong, to be examples in the world today of those who are following Christ, following his example, living out his truth in the world. So now I've said probably enough this morning, and now it's your turn at the tables to take a few moments to reflect on what I've said, sift it out, and to consider what God has been saying to you this morning about what does it mean to be part of God's chosen and special possession, his forever family, the church. I'd like you to reflect on that for a moment and then share with your group which character qualities that you feel are most needed for us to be who God has declared us to be today. And you can look, you can reflect on Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17 at your table. Someone read it, and then you can reflect on that. What does it mean to be God's chosen and special possession today? And how are you going to embrace that yourself today? To be God's church. Take a few moments now to have someone at your table read that. It's on the back of the sheets there. And then we'll gather back in about 10 minutes. All right, as we gather back around this table this morning, it is good to be together as the family of God, isn't it? It's good to be together as the forever family, to be able to come together week in, week out, to be able to encourage one another, come around, support each other in life, and in our pursuit of growing in our faith together. And that's what this table is all about, too. It's about an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us once a month to come together and to be focused on these elements, the bread and the cup, that are such powerful symbols to us, powerful reminders to us of all that we've been talking about today. You know, that Jesus came as the exact representation of God's being on earth. He became a human being. He lived among us. He taught his disciples, and he built his church, called out people to come follow him. And through all the ages, from the time that Jesus was here and was crucified on the cross and raised from the dead, from that day until now, people like you and me have been responding to that call, and we've become part of his forever family. And so when we come around this table today to break bread and to drink this cup, we do so with a great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, who have showed us the way to Jesus. We're all here because someone from our past, someone in our past, shared with us the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we responded. And so we're here. And so we come together today to remember Jesus and all that he's done for us. And as we come together today, you'll find on the table, the elements are already there. I'm going to ask one person at your table to pour the cup and have that ready for when we are going to partake of the cup together. There are also on the table pieces of bread that we are going to share together. One person, if you would take the gloves or whatever and pass that out to everyone else. We're not going to just receive, we're going to receive this together today. So hold on to it. Hold on to the piece of bread, and hold on to the cup, because I'll give you the instructions as to when we're going to eat and drink together. Let us remember that Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take it eat it in remembrance of me. I would encourage you to pass around the bread right now. And if there is anyone here that needs gluten-free, just let us know, because we do have some gluten-free bread as well. Anybody who doesn't have that? Okay. Let me just pray before we eat together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to come together today to eat this bread, to be reminded of all that you have done for us, the teaching that you gave us, the life that you lived, the life that you were willing to put onto the cross and die for us, all represented in this bread that gives us life. You are the bread of life. And so we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together and to celebrate your life now living in us as we eat this bread together. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us eat together in remembrance of Christ. We also remember that Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me." You know, when Jesus Christ laid down his lifeblood was spilled for us. His crown of thorns on his head, the spear that went into his side. And all those remind us that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And Jesus Christ, by laying down his life, by shedding his blood for us, has given us the ability to be able to be cleansed from our unrighteousness. And therefore, we've been passed from death unto life by the blood of Christ. So let us remember all that sacrifice of his blood has meant for us. Let us pray and then drink together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup that reminds us of your blood that was shed for us on Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for the way that your blood cleanses us, sets us free from all of our sins and death. And Lord, we just pray that today, as we drink this cup, that you would just remind us of the desire that we have in our hearts to keep our lives clean and pure in relation to you. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this cup. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us drink together in remembrance of Christ's blood shed for us on the cross.